sung these beautiful songs, be glorified, O Lord Jesus. Be exalted in our midst. Thank you that you will meet us where we are, that you will bring your grace and your mercy and your love and your holiness to bear on the things inside of us that we are ashamed of, the sin that so easily entangles us. We can find freedom in you. And so we just confess our sins, Lord, to you. We open our hearts up to you, O God, God of grace, God of forgiveness. Come and minister your forgiving power to us. Thank you. We don't deserve, O God, your grace. In fact, that's the point of your grace. We can't deserve it. We can't earn it either. It's just freely given to us. And so we praise you for that. And Lord, that when we believe in you, you make us a child of God. And we now belong to the household of God. And there we find community together. Thank you that we have each other as we walk through this world in all the trouble and turmoil. We have each other to depend on, to love, to express love to, and to receive love. And we give you praise for that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Children, you can be dismissed to your groups now, and if you haven't registered, you can register at the back counter there, and you can follow the leaders out through this side door or this back door. You're welcome to do that. Something I forgot to mention when I was introducing you to this lovely family, to Laura and her kids. The key to this, this pathway is that she has a grandmother who calls her every week and prays with her on the phone. Isn't that beautiful? In fact, she said it's kind of like the point of the week that she looks forward to the most. She can't wait for that phone call from grandma who will pray with her. She answers her questions on the phone. And she, if she doesn't know, she'll go to her church and say, "Pastor, this is what my granddaughter's asking. What do I say?" He'll come back. "Well, the pastor says, you know." And so she is asked if someone who comes today would video this for her, the baptisms for her, so that she can send them to her grandma. And that's what we're asking for. So when you come down, if you'd be willing to do that, I don't know, maybe my wife even might be willing to do that, or I guess every angle possible. Just to encourage Grandma, who has been so faithful in her life. The scriptures declare that where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. You see, the power that God has for us as human beings is not just in our relationship with Him, but it's where two or three gather as well. That there's this tangible, felt expression and need for community. It's one of the shining things that come out of that conversation with Laura this week, was she really wanted a community. Why? Why not just carry on by yourself? No. You need that surrounding love. Even though you have full love, as much love as God could possibly give you, and there's nothing you could ever change or do that will remove that love or somehow cheapen that love. It is full and free and flowing for you. Guess what? The way He's designed it is that you see that love, you notice that love, you need that love, you give that love where two or three are gathered in His name. The power of fellowship, the power of community cannot be underestimated or underexpressed in the church. You see, when Jesus did leave, finally, He left. He went up into heaven. They're all standing there gazing. In the next chapter, the Holy Spirit comes and envelops everybody. And there were fires, you know, over everybody's head, and they were speaking in strange languages and tongues, and everybody in the audience heard the gospel in their own language. Amazing. At the end of that story, it talks about the life dynamic of that gathering. You know, there were 3,000 people added that day alone, not to mention the other additions. What do you do with 3,000 people all in one day? Well, Jesus, we would like to know what that feels like. So bring it on. We'll take 3,000 in one day, wouldn't we? We'd take more. It says, though, that as they began to structure themselves, it says in Acts chapter 2 that they came to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is what we looked at a couple weeks ago, is that the church is the holder of truth. It is the protector of the word of God. It is the disseminating force of God's word into our lives and into the light of the life of the world. You know, the lighthouse we were talking about is Jesus, but we also are a light on a hill. And it's not because we're so amazing, it's because the word of God is light and life. And so we teach that. That's part of who we are. But the next part of that statement is not only to devote themselves to the teaching of the apostles, but also to fellowship. So we get the word and we get each other. It is so valuable to have one another. Imagine trying to live your Christian life all by yourself, all the time. How? How do you do that? And I can ask this in a theological way. Not even God does that. He doesn't do that either. He lives in perfect harmony in community. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And guess what? We need that community too. And so he leaves behind his church. And he promises that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. No matter how dark and dastardly it is out there, the church of Christ, the true church, will continue moving forward in light and in life and in fellowship and in the teaching of God's word until he comes. And then we get to be forever, like we sang. Hey, forever with him. And so discipleship is, a teaching is a very vital part of discipleship. What I'm doing now, I'm giving you the gift that God has given to me for you. But also there are teachers in our small groups, in our Sunday school this morning. There are people who are teaching each other from the scripture and dialoguing together, having conversations together about Jesus, about the word, about how it impacts our life, about our struggles, our temptations, our weaknesses. The Bible even says if we confess our sins to one another and pray for one another, the prayer of faith will heal. Never exclude the body of Christ, in your healing journey. That's why I love some of the principles that go along with Celebrate Recovery, because recovery in Jesus happens in community with Jesus and with each other. And when we get together and we do a 3 and 30 with someone, we sit down for 30 minutes and we go through the scripture and we pray together and we share life together and we pray for one another. Jesus is present, for where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst. And Jesus was proclaiming that they should go out and preach the gospel and teach repentance in his name and that the kingdom of God has come. He didn't send them out individually. That would have been a fool's errand. He sent them out two by two because we need each other. We need each other. So, in the spirit of this message today, I would invite you to turn to your neighbor and declare, I need you. Come on, I need you. 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 I even need you. Doesn't it feel good to be needed? Now turn and say, I need you too. Go ahead, turn to each other. I need you too. Come on, I need you too. I need you too. It feels good to be needed. I need you. So while the teaching of God's word is often the center of discipleship, it is not the only aspect of discipleship that's needed. I was having coffee this week with a family from our church. And you know, I was so blessed when I left. I had to stop and pray and say, thank you, Jesus, for this family in our church. You know what they said? After the service, and when they're here, they don't just look for friends. They look for new friends. They're kind to everyone. They look for the one who's by themselves. Isn't that great? Oh, may your tribe increase. Because in that friendship, we find in Jesus, it's not just friendship, it's holy friendship. It's holy fellowship. Paul even said, greet one another with a holy kiss. Now turn to your neighbor. No, I'm just kidding. Do not do that. You can if you want. I mean, you know, depending on that relationship, I guess. But how tender that is. Hey, when we greet each other, I remember my very first experience with a holy kiss. I was 24, somewhere in there. And I was in Eastern Europe, and I'd been part of a group that was smuggling Bibles and children's books and clothes and things like that to this church. And it was an unscheduled stop. Now, we were very careful about unscheduled stop, but we sensed that this was a stop that the Holy Spirit wanted us to make. It was one of the people we met said, well, we're having church tonight. Can you come? And of course, what are you going to say? Oh, no, we got to get going. We said, yeah, we'll come, even though it's going to be in Hungarian, and I have no clue of any words in Hungarian. We got there. We showed up, and this very large woman, she grabbed me, whoop, and she plunked a couple of beauties on each cheek, and I stood there like a board. The holy kiss. Did I ever feel welcomed? And we have a holy hugger in our church, right, Irene? We have a holy hugger. Yeah. If you walk through those doors and you don't get a hug, it's because she didn't see you. So my advice, go out the side door, come in again. Get that hug. You see, all of this comes because of what Jesus said in the Great Commission. He said, I want you to go out in my authority and make disciples of all the world. So make disciples everywhere. All nations, everywhere, make disciples. And then he said something. He said, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite authors, Dallas Willard, interprets this. He paraphrases this so beautifully. I love this. Listen to it carefully and see how it affects your view of fellowship. Jesus says to them, I have been given the say over all things in heaven and in earth. So as you go, therefore, make disciples of all kinds of people, submerge them into the Trinitarian presence. Baptize them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them everything I have commanded you, and I will be with you to the very end of the age. I love that. Drown them in God's presence. Submerge them in his holy community. Because you know what? Once you've experienced holy community, once you've come out of that water and you know that in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you've been redeemed, the first thing you want to do is find community. Because he is community. He is holy community. And you've been baptized into that holy community. And so if you haven't been baptized, get baptized, for goodness sake. This afternoon, we'll be at a place called Kelly's Bathtub. 1:30, thank you. If you haven't been baptized, there's no reason to wait. Get baptized. Jesus said, baptize them. Then teach them everything I've commanded you. They're not going to know much when they get baptized, right? In fact, I'd be surprised if they know basically they're saved. That's it. Jesus saved me, baptize me. And then the rest comes. You figure it out. In community. Fellowship is so important. It is vital to the work of God in our lives. Jesus prayed this way before he was taken to his trial, before he was put on the cross to suffer and die for my sin, our sins, then go into the grave and rise again by the power of God. He raised him from the dead, and then he set him as what? Lord over the church. The church. Jesus in John chapter 17 prays this way for us. Listen to his prayer. I pray not only for them alone. He's talking about his disciples there. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Who is that? That's us. We are in Jesus' prayer. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Now listen to this staggering truth. May they also be in us. May they also be in us. So Jesus, the Father is in Jesus. Jesus is in the Father. And when we believe, what happens? We join. We join. We join the Trinity. We join in the holy community. We submerge ourselves in the Trinitarian Father, Son, and Holy Spirit presence. That community is our community now. And so when we look around, we look for others of like community. That's what we look for. And it doesn't even have to be of the same language. Remember I told you I went to that church? I didn't understand a word, but I knew Jesus was there. I knew with the greeting and the big hug and the kiss on each cheek, but when I went down into that basement to that secret meeting, I could tell it was unmistakable, the presence of God. When they sang those songs, I got goosebumps and I started to cry. A little bit like this morning, hey? When we start to sing, the piano cuts out. Suddenly, I could hear all your voices. I found that kind of emotional. Praise God for pianos that don't work once in a while. Thank you for forging ahead. We sang out. Jaden led from guitar, but we could hear. I love that Jaden's son, what's his name? Isaiah, back here. What is he? How old? 10? Leading from the drums. Woo! Yeah. Because we come together, we cannot but worship when we are put into Holy Trinity presence, into communion and community. We worship. We'll get to that another week. I'm way off track here. This is a staggering truth. that we are invited into the holy presence of a triune God. We are submerged in that holy presence. And when we come out of those waters, we express that submerge and that holy presence to who? To each other? Absolutely. Those of you married, to your wife, to your husband, to your children. Those of you yet to be married, don't worry, you'll get a chance to love somebody. To love somebody with the love that Jesus has poured into your heart, submerged you in. I like the word drowned better. This is such an important and vital truth. It was infringed upon by our government during COVID. And I could feel it. It was a hardship that we bore. Some of you may not agree that we didn't meet, and some of you agree that we shouldn't have met. Put that aside right now and just see how important the fellowship was. That people were willing to watch on their TVs just so they could be feeling apart. Apart. Very important. Very important. When you struggle with habits and hang-ups and sins, fellowship is crucial. If you try to tackle your own sinful nature, if you try to tackle the enemy's approach in your life and even the foothold he may have because of anger in your life, if you try to do that all by yourself, you can call out to Jesus. It's a very important thing to do. But if you want victory, continued victory, you need fellowship. That's how God has designed it. I have people call me, say, "Pastor, I'm addicted to porn. I can't seem to shake it." One of my first questions is, who have you told besides me? I live a long way away. Have you told someone in your fellowship? Have you told somebody in your church? No. Go do that. You get another brother and you lock arms. In some cases, you get another sister and you lock arms to deal, to have continued healing in an area of your life that you struggle with. Now, I heard this expression while I was studying this week and I liked it. Fellowship is like friendship, but with a spiritual side to it. I like that. It really simplifies. In holy fellowship, we enjoy each other's company. That's for sure. We laugh together. You know, last week at our 40th anniversary at the banquet, we had so much laughter. Being in the family of God is fun at times. Spoken from a sister who spends hours alone in a room at the Good Sam, or whatever it's called now, right? You're there alone. I mean, obviously Will comes to visit you. That's important. But when we were visiting, we said, we need to get permission to bring you to the fellowship. And there, she's here. She's here with us now. Yeah, they gave us permission. Yeah. Jesus said this about friendship. Well, first he said, I want to talk to you about love, because out of holy love comes holy friendship. He said, in holy fellowship, a new commandment I give to you, love one another. Now, I got to stop there because there's a period and it says stop, you know. So I said, okay, a new commandment I give you, love one another. Is that a new commandment? No, it's not. It's not a new commandment. How is it not new? Because God has said right from the beginning, love one another. But it's new in this way. Next sentence. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's new. Because now we see what it looks like from Jesus, what love looks like. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples. And they added to the church 3,000 that day. Because you have love one for another. He goes further. He says, greater love in John 15. He says, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. Isn't that something? Greater love has no one than this, to lay down your life for a friend. And you are my friends. Because why? Because he laid down his life for them. But he also says, you're my friends if you do what I command. I don't call you servants any longer, because a servant doesn't know what the master's business is. Instead, I call you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You didn't choose me, I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Ask my Father, and he will give you anything you ask in my name. And this is my command: love one another. Isn't that a powerful truth? You see, that promise is sandwiched between the command to love one another. And I got to tell you, saints can be prickly. I would never advise anyone to hug a porcupine. But sometimes people are like that, and you know what they need? They need a holy kiss. They need a hug from Jesus through Grandma Irene. You might get poked, and it might hurt. You could get hurt in this fellowship. How many of you have been hurt in this fellowship? No, just kidding. Don't raise your hand. Yes, we all know, because we've all been hurt. Somebody has said something. Somebody's done something. Somebody's hurt me, hurt my feelings, just didn't feel right. I don't want to come anymore, so we quit. That is a grave, grave error in thinking. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens another friend. Sometimes there is friction, but don't be afraid of that. You know, in a marriage, if Cheryl would just do everything the way I tell her to, we'd have so much peace. That's not how it works, is it, fellas? In fact, I could probably say it's more like the other way, but I won't go there. one of the pastors that I was sort of in my formative years was following, and we'd talk once in a while, and he talked about doing weddings, and he'd take a hammer and a chisel and a piece of sandpaper. And he would tell the couple getting married in his message, he'd pick up the hammer and the chisel, and he'd go behind the groom and he'd whip that thing, oh, and everybody's shocked, and you know, and then he'd go behind her and do the same thing. He said, sometimes in marriage, it's like a contract where you hand over the chisel and the hammer, and you say, help me be my true self. That's part of the contract. But he said, also, there's sandpaper. So you don't need a hammer and chisel all the time, thankfully. Praise God. Sometimes you just use a little ivory cloth. So the true grain comes through. Hey? But either way, it's friction. It's a chisel. It's a hammer. And so in fellowship, it's not any that much difference, really. That when we are hurt, when we're offended, when someone says something silly or stupid or selfish or proud or arrogant or you name it. Peter says that we should love one another, because in that love we will cover over a multitude, multitude of sins, of offenses. That's what love does. Now, that does not discredit speaking the truth to each other in love either, because sometimes we need to tell each other the truth. Hey, brother, what you said really hurt. I think we need to fix this. I think you need to work on this. Let me just grab this 25-pound chisel first. Boom! No. We come together in holy communion, in holy friendship, so that we can help one another become more like Christ to each other. That's what the goal is. That's what the purpose is, to become like Jesus. And so sometimes we do need to speak the truth in love. But I think more often we need to just be full of grace. You know why? Because the person having the chisel and the hammer in their hand is not perfect. Amen. Is not perfect. So sometimes we just need to speak truth gently, humbly to each other. Correction, humbly. Galatians says humbly, graciously. Because we know we're not perfect too. It even says that if we don't do this graciously, we could also fall into error. And we don't want that. And so we come together in fellowship to become apprentices of Jesus together. And sometimes that means hard work. And if you've been offended, know that you're not alone. You know, as you go out in the community and you find people who have even gone to this church in the past, or Church Now, for example, or other churches in the communities they came from, and they've walked away. And I don't go to church anymore. It's full of hypocrites. And I'm, yes, hallelujah, you're right. We are a bunch of hypocrites, but we are still working at it. And it's not some place we want to stay. We want to move forward from there. We want our words and our actions to meet up in the power of Jesus. And by His Spirit alone, we can do that together. Encourage those who you come across that by separating yourself from the fellowship, the holy community, the Trinitarian holy community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit holy community. When you move yourself from that, you move yourself from the fire. That's what you move yourself from. It is not a good place to be. Proverbs has plenty to say about this, and I'll just briefly mention that two are better than one. Why? Because if one falls down, the other can help them up. And he said, even better, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. There's strength in Christ together that we need. And so Hebrews 10:25 warns us, don't forsake or leave behind or quit or neglect the gathering of the saints, as some are in the habit of doing. You know what? This is not a new thing. It's hard work to be in fellowship. People say things that hurt me. People do things that hurt me. I do things that hurt others. Don't stop. Remain. Don't forsake is the word, which means leave behind. I don't need that anymore. I don't need church. Pity. You'll have no one to guard your back. And we all need somebody back there. We need each other. So Ephesians chapter 4, Paul instructs us, we are to endeavor, it's a good word, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is the hard work of fellowship. So fellowship's good. Fellowship is sitting down at a table and enjoying a family feast. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, am I the only one that likes those? Yeah. Yeah. Going for coffee and enjoying a good conversation. Those are all good things, right? And you can laugh and you can cry and you can carry together the burdens of life, no doubt. But when it comes to your commitment to the church, to the gathered saints, whatever form that takes, remember, two or three is a gathering where Jesus is present. Okay. Endeavor to keep that. Other translations use these words. Make every effort, endeavoring. Make every effort. Endeavoring, eagerly maintain. eagerly maintain, endeavor, urge to strive earnestly, striving earnestly. Be diligent to preserve, to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know what that tells me? That tells me this is going to be hard work. And here's where it gets hard. Listen to this. Just before Paul gives that instruction in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, he says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. So live a life that Jesus has given you. He's called you into this new creation. And most of us have no idea at the beginning what that's going to look like. But we can comfortably tell you as we've grown in our faith that it looks like Jesus. That's what it looks like. It looks like Him. And so he says, as this urging to follow this calling, he says, do it all by yourself because you'll be good. No, he doesn't say that. Here's what he says. Instead, he says, be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another in love. Doesn't that sound like a party? All those wonderful words, completely humble, completely gentle, completely patient, bearing with one another in love. This is the essence of what we must work towards in our own lives. That is the fruit of the Spirit. He's basically declaring the fruit of the Spirit is the efforts of the collective body of the submerged believers in the triune community, in the fellowship of the saints. That's what's going on. You're pursuing Christ's likeness, who was and is and always will be completely humble, completely gentle, completely patient. Hallelujah. Do I need patience? Completely bearing with me, with one another in love. What we receive from Jesus through the Spirit, we pass to those around us in holy fellowship. Woo. Hallelujah. It is hard work, and therefore we are commanded, don't forsake this. Don't stop. Pursue the Spirit and pursue the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and pursue the communion and the community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with everything you have. In the bond of peace, he ends with this, in the bond of peace. We are commanded in Romans 12 to live at peace as far as it depends on each other. You can't always have peace. Sometimes another brother or sister, they don't want anything to do with you. But as far as it depends on you, because this is a Christ act, this is a sacrifice act, you be at peace with them. You pursue peace with them. Because that's how Jesus would do it. And that's what he wants us to do to each other. As far as it depends on you. That means you do everything you can, but at some point, there's a line where you've done everything you can to bring peace, and the other person now has to meet you there. And you can't force that. You pray that the Holy Spirit shows them that. And he's the one who does that work. And if there are relationships that you have left hanging, left unfinished, undealt with, this is the journey. Make it right. Jesus said in the great Sermon on the Mount, if you know that you've offended a brother, or you know that a brother has offended you, he says, if you come to church, leave your gift at the altar, and go and be reconciled. Go and make it right. And then come and present your gift. That's how important this is. The God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who have lived forever and will live forever in total and complete, perfect, holy community. And when we are baptized in, we take on this character. And we pursue each other with this kind of love in the bond of peace. You know, bond, not James Bond. That bond is a word that we use today. It's glue. It's the thing that holds us together. It's to be at peace. It holds us together. First Peter says, above all things, have intense, unfailing love for one another, because love will cover a multitude of offenses. This means that we forgive and we disregard sometimes offenses. Why? Because we put them before Jesus. We say, Jesus, this is your child. You take care of them. You show them the error of their ways. If you want me to say something, I will. You set up the time, you set up the meeting, I'll say something. That's how I handle it, and I've handled it that way for years, and I'll tell you, he never disappoints. If something needs to be said to somebody, he'll put it on my heart to go and say it. And so then I just say, okay, Father, set it up. And within 24 hours, generally, he sets something up. Because he wants us to make things right. It's a good way to pray. And sometimes I'm given peace to just let it lie for now. Just love them anyway. Let it lie. The Holy Spirit will deal with them. Let it lie. My words will only complicate. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. And for goodness sake, don't try to be the Holy Spirit in someone's life. You let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit in someone else's life. You listen to him in yours, and you obey him. All right. This is vital to our journey together. As apprentices, that's what a disciple is, a student, a pupil, an apprentice of Jesus. We need each other to support, encourage, help, and to wound and to hurt. That's included. Because love must be expressed, and that's how we grow in that love. So I encourage you, if you've been hurt by somebody, make it right. If the Holy Spirit puts it on your heart to make it right, make it right. Ask him to set it up if you don't know how to go ahead. He'll set it up. It's really amazing. And even if you stumble and fall, which I've done many times, I'll say, okay, Father, you set it up, and I chickened out. Help me again. And you know what? Within 24 hours, something else comes up. Isn't that awesome? Because he wants us to be at peace with each other. He wants us to express love to our fellowship, friendships, to the community of saints as we have been submerged, I love that, drowned in the triune presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May it be so among us. Amen. Say that with me. May it be so among us. May it be so among us. In Jesus' name, let's finish in worship.